An unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, yesterday, we let Billy Collins pierce our hearts. Felt more like stab our hearts, my heart. Anyway, about Ukraine. So today I want to talk about something, what to do with that sore heart. I touched also on the question that I'm glad nobody asked about what, you know, what's sitting got to do with it? What's the point? So what that led to for me was thinking about the ox herding pictures. Has everybody heard of the ox herding pictures? I can't see you, but I mean, I can sort of see you. Yes. Thank you. Well, the drawings in this, I guess in the picture I sent, I don't know if you call this a picture, they were drawn, these are drawings of the ox herding pictures that were, I think, I have this theory that the man who did it, a man named, his Dharma name, which he used, was Hekazan. His regular name was Tom Girado, and he was an old time Zen student who was a musician, a jazz musician, and I'm going to pass this around, a jazz musician, and he drove a cab, and he was a very interesting man, and he was a tea master. He taught tea ceremony. And I had the, he died not exactly suddenly, but there wasn't a long period of illness. His heart kind of gave out, and nobody really knew if he had family left or any possessions that we didn't already know about that weren't kind of in his room. So, being the lawyer and the director at the time of the city center, I went through all of his stuff to make sure that there wasn't some surprise or somebody we were leaving out. His wife and hence his son had both already died, so that we knew. And we had his somebody, one of the senior people, it might have been Paul Haller, it might have been Mel, I don't know, somebody, it might have been Michael Wenger, but at any rate, he quoted Hekazan as saying, as doing this, something about family came up, and he said, ah, family. So the odds were that there wasn't anything, but you never know. And in the process, one of the things I came across was this set of three drawings, and they really do look to me, my theory is that they were doodles during either during a class or during study hall at Tassajara. I don't know. But I think they're quite wonderful. And with the help of the framing guy at Flax, I like the way these are done. Because these are just the scratch paper things. It's not that clear. As they're doodly, but the basic framework of the ox herding pictures which you should bear in mind that we never talk about steps and stages. There aren't any steps and stages, but the Oxfording pictures are in steps and stages. So there's this young monk, and she's minding her own business, and she's walking along one day, and she sees hoof prints. And she doesn't know what they are. She starts following them. And at some point, she catches sight of the hind part of an ox. And she catches up with it, and she throws a rope through the ring in its nose, and she pulls it along because it doesn't even want to go. And she kind of wrestles with it. And after a while, it will follow her as long as she has the rope in her hand. And after a while, it will follow along without her really having to hold the rope. And after a while, she can ride the ox. And one of my favorite pictures is that at some point she's lying on the back of the ox, facing its tail, and she's like playing a flute or something. She's absolutely not needing to guide it at all. And then there is usually an enso, the Zen kind of circle, and then maybe empty, just a blank place, where sometimes cherry blossoms. And then the last picture is she's returned to the marketplace with gift bestowing hands, as we say. So she has tamed her ox. She has made friends with her ox. And you can think of the ox as her Buddha nature or her small self, letting go enough into her big self. And she returns to the marketplace. She takes it and makes use of it, of this struggle that she has had. And I'm trying not to say won, because winning is sort of totally not it. But that has happened and has borne fruit, let's say that way. Empty fruit. So these pictures, if you know the Oxfording pictures, if you can see it, that there's just up here, and then there's the footprints, and there's seeing the ox, and then there's leading the ox with some resistance, and then easier, then riding the ox, then the enso, and then back. And this last picture, these are similar. These two were pretty clear cut. This one is much more, what do you call it? I don't know, intuitive or something. Anyway, but this last one, I thought at first that when I first saw it, I thought he was riding a motorcycle, and then it says whoopee over here. And I finally realized, no, he's making tea. You know, they have those big iron pots. So it isn't the wheels of a motorcycle, it's his teapots. Anyway, so here you go. And there are lots of versions and different schools of Zen or whatever, or not necessarily not just Zen, but different schools have different versions. I think Tibetans have an elephant that slowly turns white, and a white elephant is very auspicious. That's what came to Buddha's mother to impregnate her, a magic white elephant. At any rate, that notion of seeking and finding your practice self, say, and then struggling. I mean, we have all different kinds of struggling, right? Sometimes there's just resistance. You don't even know what it's about. You just don't want to sit. So particularly interesting, shall we say, at Tassajara, where that's the schedule, go sit. And you're sitting in your room thinking, I don't want to. And then you, one of the useful things about social pressure is you kind of have to. And if you don't do it, you're going to hear about it. So you go and you sit with it. I want to talk about bringing this back out of Sesshin into the world. I'm going to digress, as I have a really good example of resistance. And not sitting. You could just put it on the chairs and thank you. Long time ago, in the summer of 1989, I did a practice period that summer at Green Gulch Farm. And my parents had each died, my mother in January and my dad in May, and this was early July. And it was a hard time for me, and I was going to do a memorial ceremony with my then teacher, Yvonne Rand, the next day out in the Jizo Garden. And that morning, during early Zazen, we used to sit two periods before breakfast. That morning, I was sitting there and thinking to myself, I definitely was thinking, I just don't feel like doing memorial. I don't feel good about them. I don't like them. I don't feel warm towards them. I don't want to do it. I don't feel what I should be feeling. Sad. I should be missing them. I should be remembering the good things. I don't want to do this. I don't feel that. I feel resentment towards them. I hate them. I don't know, whatever. And then came breakfast and a break, and then there was, it must have been a Sunday morning, and there was like 9:30 Zazen and a lot of people. And my friend Barbara Cohn, K-O-H-N, was the Eno at the time, and that means she was in charge of the Zendo, and she was, I decided I was not going to Zazen. And I got myself a cup of tea, and instead of going around the entryway to the Zendo, what's called the Gaitan, where the monks lived, and there was the altar where you got the incense to take into the Zendo, blah, blah. Instead of going around there, I had to take my shoes off, walk across, put them back on, and whatever. I walked right through there, and Barbara was standing by that altar, ready to go in and open the Zendo. I said, I wasn't laughing at the time, but I think it's funny now. I'm sort of stomping across there, and I said, I'm not going to Zazen. She looked at me, she said, I can see that. And I stomped off to the herb garden, and I was sitting on a bench there, and drinking my tea, and then I lay down on the bench. And some people who were there for Sunday, whatever, walked by on the path leading down towards the beach. And the thought arose, I can't tell this without laughing, but I mean, it wasn't funny at the time. It was my heart, but the thought arose. I bet your parents didn't die. mean, for all I know, they did. At any rate, I pretty soon went back to my room. You know, everybody was, I guess they were still sitting zazen. Anyway, they were all in there, and I went in my room and I just started sobbing, and it was like, it was a dam bursting. And that's all. We did the ceremony the next morning and it was fine. And it isn't like I suddenly was flooded with only positive memories of my parents, but I certainly lightened up about it. And I was able to feel something and participate in that ceremony. We chanted the Heart Sutra, I think, at a Jizo altar. But that was a dramatic experience of dealing with resistance that I've had lots of times when it wasn't so clear cut. So that's one of the things that the monk would have had to deal with, that kind of thing, in coming to terms with this ox. First she saw it, and then she caught it. And then she had this ox that was like, there's one of those pictures where it's kind of pulling back so that the rope is really taut, and you can see that she's pulling and it's a little bit stiff-legged. It's not a, there are more dramatic versions, but it's there. And we all have oxes to tame. And the thing about it not being in steps and stages is that you can have an ox to tame any old time. It isn't like you practice for 5 years and then from then on you're just riding along on its back playing your flute. Or you're completely open-hearted in the marketplace, being useful and generous and kind to everybody. Wouldn't it be pretty to think so? So we sit sesshins in part to help us help each other to tame the ox of the moment. When my sister died, it took me almost a year to be able to do some a practice that I wanted to do, but I it's like I couldn't touch it, and I knew I couldn't touch it. And I tried. I was ordered to take a couple of weeks off. She died in January, and in April, the practice committee said, "Go, go, go, go." So I did, and I went to Big Sur, and I brought along a journal. I had a very nice time, but I couldn't touch it, and I knew I meant to, and it just wasn't happening. And it wasn't until December that I sat part of a Rohatsu Sesshin at Berkeley Zen Center, and finally was able to, I don't remember if I started there or I just opened to it and I knew that I would. And the practice is to talk to the person. If somebody dies and it feels that you didn't have closure with them, usually they die suddenly, but with somebody with Alzheimer's, you know, you can't process it with them at all, or not with her at any rate. And so the practice is that you talk to them every day for 49 days, and then on the 49th day you do some sort of ceremony. And for me it's chanting the Daishin Nirani, but it could be anything. And I just couldn't do it until then. So sometimes you have to tame that ox, but you have to do it kindly and gently. And I do think we help each other. Being in the Sangha, Mel was there. We had a long talk. It was very useful. And my grief support group I'd been going to at Oakland Kaiser was great. And I told them, you know, I talked about this a few times, that I could not do this, and that I meant to do it, and invited them to nag me, which they mostly, you know, they don't do that at that group. No crosstalk, no, well, it was, I don't know what it's like right now, it's all online, but at any rate, it was a wonderful thing. And just having the support of, the, you know, that was a kind of a sangha, and this is certainly a sangha, and Berkeley is a sangha for me. So we struggle with our ox, and sometimes we don't struggle. Sometimes we are riding its back, and sometimes we actually let go of that, and there's just and what I want to emphasize right now is that the point is to return to the marketplace with gift bestowing hands, to take this silent sitting, this mutual support, this sangha body with us. You know, Marilyn and Liam are not physically here, but they're with us, and we are with them. And in some sense, this is a body. So take that with us out into the world. It's not that we don't feel sad about Ukraine and worried and angry and whatever else. But it's not, those emotions are not in charge, and that comes from Zazen. And it comes from supporting each other to sit. And I've found it useful over the years to remember that when I go to the Zendo, I was thinking more so about, say, when I was at Berkeley Zen Center, which was my parallel to your practice more, because when you live at the Zen Center, somebody's going to come knock on your door if you don't show up and ask if you're sick or whatever. And when I knew that when I went to the Zendo, it supported other people to go. You know, in times when I felt fine and it was easy for me to go, that was great. But when I didn't feel like it, the remembering that there were other people that depended on me just as I depended on them, and it helped me get there to know that they're there, and I'm part of that body. And if I don't go because I'm feeling in a bad mood or something, or I stayed up too late the night before, that hurts that body. So I went, like it or not. That was quote Mill saying, you know, like it, don't like it, doesn't matter, damn. It can actually be too easy sometimes, and then you can float along, but sometimes that's not what you need to do. At any rate, taking it out into the world, and of course we're not going to be always kind and always useful and always generous and always have the appropriate response. But the odds are better. The odds are better. So I have two contradictory, slightly contradictory things to say, is this is the last day of Sesshin. Let's stay here until it's over. It's easy to be planning the evening or planning tomorrow or worrying about something. So keep coming back. It works. But when, and when you go, take us with you. Take us with you. And whatever your response to what's going on in the world or your family or your work or whatever. Let your ox support you. We have a couple of minutes if anybody has any questions or comments or anything. Liam?
I do find over the kind of course, greater trajectory of my life that the resistance does get less. That sometimes I even look forward to Sesshin. I'm not sure about the gift bestowing hands exactly, but I'm definitely less grouchy than I used to be. So that's something.
I don't dare ask Marilyn if that's true.
Definitely helpful.
I think that's true about resistance. And the thing is that it's like that you don't believe in it quite so much. You don't get caught by it quite so much. Yeah.
I have to say, Liam's not grouchy very often anymore. I think overall this practice has helped him.
That's good. Kelly?
Two things. One, when you say take us with you, you just want to go to Hawaii. That's really right.
That's right. He's going, his family, Kelly and his family are going to Hawaii
tomorrow. Yeah. But the real thing I wanted to say is that I think it's, you know, so many things have been difficult about the past 2 years, but one of them that's very profound is not being able to kind of be with a group of people sitting. And I know we can do it online, and that's definitely supportive, but I think reminding myself that there would be a time when we could physically be together again is something that I didn't do often enough, but when I did do was useful.
Zach put his hands up and got show, but it was like this. He's sitting there, and I was just about to say, that's it, and his hands started coming.
It was a sneaky got show.
Okay.
So I think a lot of you now are selling our old place, and there was a, actually the first day of Sesshin, during work period, I got a text from the realtor, and something went wrong. And I went to the county, and then I was printing out all these forms, and my printer ran out of ink. I went to Staples and bought another cartridge, and when I came home and I did everything, my wife said, "Wow, you didn't freak out." Because usually I'm like the mellow guy who freaks out. Like I'm good, but then boom, there's, and I couldn't help but think, well, at least the half a day of sitting maybe helped, or years of sitting, has helped. And I don't know how you prove that or whether you want to prove it or does it matter. I didn't freak out.
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.